There's a guy, Randy Clark, if you ever want to just study the just healing and healing ministry and biblical viewpoint theology on healing, and go and research Randy Clark. He says his philosophy on healing is this: the more he prays for people, the more people get healed. That's the healing gift. The more you pray for people, the more people get healed. So I wanna challenge you, and I think that's a big thing that's happening in the church at this time, is that it's not the big shot on stage, calling people forward, throwing over his cloak over them, and then people are getting healed by that. But it's actually the normal person sitting in the pew and just going out and praying for people. So that's you guys. We need to be God's hands and feet. Okay, so I want to challenge you, and Diepia has been really challenging me, because he would just walk around in the mall and just pray for people, and then people would, through the healing, get connected with Jesus, because that's ultimately what we're after. And he would just pray for people. I want to challenge you to go and pray for somebody this week. If somebody comes to you and tell you, "Hey, I feel bad," you're like, "Hey, the Holy Spirit is telling me this person is feeling bad," through this person's mouth. I want to pray for that person. All you do, you say, "Hey, I know maybe it's going to be a little awkward, but can I pray for you? But you need to grow in this. Because the other great thing about healing is that you can sometimes, you get feedback very quickly. Like, you can't necessarily see if you preach a sermon, hey, how it impacted people, but healing you can see right there most of the time. Hey, it has impacted that person. And then your faith grows and that person's faith grows. Okay, so that's homework. Okay, we have a lot of teachers here. If they don't do their homework, what are we going to do? Like, bring terug die lat. Wat gaan ons doen? Sambok. Okay, we'll pull out this, was it the sambok daar achter? Ons gaan uittrek. And then we're going to, great, is that cool? So it is Resurrection Sunday. There's a guy, Tony Campolo. Who of you know Tony? Who of you have heard of Tony Campolo? He has a great ministry. I think he's in his 80s now. But I was actually impacted by this story that I'm going to tell you about him when I think I was grade 10, standard 8, and I was at this youth festival, and this guy from Mossel Bay shared the story, and I remember, I'm like, one day I'm going to preach on this. And I think I've used the story a couple of times. So here it is. Tony Campolo, he gets, somebody calls him to preach at a conference, and I think it's an African-American conference. And as he gets up to the stage, people are like, "Hallelujah, praise Jesus." And he delivers this brilliant message on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he's still a young guy. And then after that, an old man walks up, African-American guy, and tells him, whispers in his ear and tells him, "I'm going to show you how it's done," but in a good way, in a humble way. And his message consists of two phrases. "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." And then he would say something, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." And Tony Campolo, he said, that's a little boring in the beginning. He said, like, but as he continues, the revelation of "it is Friday, but Sunday's coming" starts to hit this crowd as they start to understand the power of what he was saying. Because he's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And afterwards, you're like, this guy was better. Because it's Friday and Sunday's coming. And I think sometimes we complicate the gospel. We complicate the good news of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's great to get to a weekend like this weekend. We have off day on a Monday. Some of you slept in this morning and you thought, okay, no, I'm not going to come to church in the morning. I'd rather go to the evening. And you have some time to think about the gospel. You have some time to think about, you know, the eggs that you're going to eat. Pasheer is awful slag, huh? Who of you like Easter eggs? I don't like them at all. Having kids, everybody in the last 3 months have brought our kids pasheer, Easter eggs. And I'm just, don't give me Easter eggs. Just really give me a Lindt chocolate or something. Like proper. Yeah, like a proper. So these weekends help us to refocus on what it's all about. And what I want to share on tonight is our perspective of the Friday. We look at Friday through the glasses of Sunday. And if you're not going to look at Friday through the glasses of Sunday, you will never ever arrive at the revelation that it was actually a good Friday. Because it wasn't a good Friday when you're sitting and looking at the cross, your King crucified. It wasn't a good Friday. But looking from the perspective of Sunday, you can see, wow, this is amazing. This was incredible, this Friday. So it's actually, it's amazing how this world, we're so pessimistic and negative, can see and look at a Friday and be like, wow, this is a good Friday. Let's make it a public holiday. But it wasn't a good Friday. Why? Because Jesus died. Our King died. He was brutally murdered. But then it was Sunday. So let's read Luke 24. So Luke 24, it's right at the end of Luke. Apparently, according to my colleague, it's the best book in the Bible. I love Amos. Didn't go off too well. Okay, great. So, from verse 13. So, Jesus, it's Sunday already. Jesus has risen. Now, these two guys on the road to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Imagine this. These guys, they're still thinking of Friday. They're still thinking of the cross, the hope of the world. They were like, this guy is amazing. He walks past people and people get healed. He raises Lazarus from the dead. And then he gets crucified. And their world just gets flipped upside down because of what happened on the cross. And they're still living in the Friday. And then Jesus comes alongside them. The Jesus that was on the cross, that they're moaning and groaning about, is walking alongside them. But they were kept from recognizing, verse 16. Verse 17 says, he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. And that's a problem with living on Friday. You will always be downcast. Because Jesus died. And you always, like, but I just so wish that this guy was really Jesus. I so wish that the preacher was speaking the truth. But now I look at this as this gospel, and it hasn't impacted me as I thought it would impact me. My hope is gone. But meantime, Jesus is right next to you. You think you're living in Friday, but it's already Sunday. One of them named Cleopas. If you're going to get married one day and get children, then name your son Cleopas. It's a great name. It's great how we get very spiritual and we call our kids Joshua and Caleb, but never Cleopas. Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these 3 days? What things? He asked. So Jesus is asking them. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who had said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. So they've heard all these stories, but they were still like, man, what is happening? Still confused. And it's funny how the woman always gets it. So the ladies, they arrive at the tomb and they get it. They see the vision, the angels, and these guys, very intellectual, very clever, they're like, no, it's just woman. It's funny, eh? Most of you sitting here like, hey, my grandma, my mother, they got it. But I've never received that. I've never experienced it. I've never seen that angel. It's always the mother. It's always the woman that get all these revelations. But Jade's going to turn that around. His children's going to speak differently. Jade, yo Cleopas. So if you ever meet a Cleopas, know it's Jay, it's a son. Okay, that's a prophetic word. Karen can also agree to a prophetic word. Okay, where were we? Verse 25, he said to them, how foolish you are. So Jesus speaking to them. So the stranger on the road speaking to them, hey, how foolish you are. You're fools. Verstaan jullie nie? Is that like what they fellas say? And how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And we're gonna focus on that, but I'm just gonna continue reading now. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. It's like, Jesus! But then he's gone. Some of us feel like that. I have finally realized, okay, this was, and then you feel like, wow, Jesus is gone. So imagine this, Jesus walking with these two guys, and he's preaching Jesus to them from the prophets and from Moses, the best sermon ever preached. Imagine hearing the gospel from Jesus' mouth. And what's he saying to them? In verse 24 or 25, he said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. It so fits in with what Tracy was saying. She was saying this, if only you believe. So Jesus is saying, if only you had faith, you would have realized that it is Sunday and not Friday. But because of the lack of faith, you're still a fool living on a Friday, but it's already Sunday. You're like that kid that pitches up on the Monday, the first Monday of school. You pitches up at the school and you're like, where's everybody? And then one of the people come to you and say, hey, it's holiday. You don't have to come to school. Or like, I remember once I woke up, put on my clothes, and then my dad came in and said, hey, it's Saturday. I think there's so many Christians wearing school clothes on a school holiday. Because we think we're on Friday because of our experiences, our emotional turmoil, but we never get to understand that we're actually living in Sunday. And we don't have faith. And we don't have the hunger to search Jesus out so that he can explain to us that we're actually living in Sunday. We need faith to get from here to there. Because the reality of Friday is a lower reality than the reality of Sunday. People can say, yes, Jesus died, but they're using the past tense. Why? Because Sunday came after Friday. And we need faith for that. The gospel is such a simple message. So I was thinking of this. Over the holiday, I went to my in-laws. Like this morning, I told the people, when you get married, you have in-laws. But when you have children, you have babysitters. So we go to our in-laws because they are the best babysitters. So then I have some time. I love watching news channels. So I sit there on the couch and I'm like playing with the news channels. So I'm watching all, getting updated with everything that Trump's doing, da 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 da. But it's so much fun just looking out of the window and seeing my the one grandma running after the kid and enjoying herself. And she loves it. And I love it. It's perfect. Perfect world for me. But then this announcement came. Trump sent the Navy, the USA, the Navy, he sent lots of ships. He sent to the South Korea Peninsula. And everybody's like, wow, what is Trump doing? And then they start digging. And then the news reports came out. He is sending it to the South Peninsula. Why? Because North Korea, they think, is testing out nuclear weapons. So Trump was quite an important person in the world because he is the America's president. Now think when God, the ultimate, most brilliant mind that brought into existence with his words everything that you can see, when he does something more radical just than sending lots of ships to a peninsula, he sends his son. Shouldn't we take notice? Shouldn't we take every effort to figure out why he did such a radical thing like sending his son? Because we're like, wow, Trump, what is up to? What's happening in North Korea? We need to find out. We need to find out. We need more info. What's happening to the world? But now we have a book here that explains to us why God, this brilliant mind, did such a radical thing, sending his son to die on the cross. I think we would do good if we would lock ourselves up until we find the answer to that why. Why did God do such a radical thing, sending his son to die on a cross? His most precious possession, his most precious relationship being destroyed on a cross. That's radical. Why did he do it? Because of us. Why did he do it? Because on Friday, everything was taken away. Everything that we had to suffer was poured on him. The wrath of God that was aimed at our sin was poured on Jesus, so that everything that was wrong with the human race got destroyed. Everything. Our shame, our pain, our illness, our sickness, our sin. Everything was poured unto Jesus. That's why for a moment he lost contact with God and said, God, do not forsake me. Why? Because the sin of this world was poured on him. And when you have sin, when there's sin in your life, you lose contact with God. Not because God's not there, but because you cannot go through sin to God. You struggle to hear his voice. And some of you are sitting in that place. You must give your life to Jesus and you must say, God, take everything away. I repent of my sin so that the sky can be cleared out so that you can hear God's voice and you can hear him saying, I love you. I want to take it away. I want to pour out my love into your heart. So there's Jesus hanging on a cross, this amazing plan that God, that he devised so that he could save the world. And he's hanging on the cross and he loses connection with God because of our sin. So on Friday, sin is taken away, shame is dealt with, everything evil is dealt with. And that's a powerful thought. So if you can just lock yourself up tomorrow, because it's a public holiday, none of you have to go to work, or you get double pay. Maybe you can just leave your double pay and just go and just lock yourself up. Ask God, God, what does the cross mean? What does it mean? Why? Why? You keep on asking that question until you get a revelation of what Friday meant. And then you go on and you say, God, but I know I'm looking at Friday through the eyes, through the glasses of Sunday. God, show me what Sunday meant and what Sunday is still meaning to this day. The resurrection of God, the power of God over the devil, over death, over everything that you struggle with. Like, we so love living on Friday. But it's a Sunday. And sometimes it's unbelief on our part, because we have more faith in our salary at the end of the month than we have faith in the good news of God. We know that our salary will come in, so we'll be able to pay our bills. But then Jesus said he made provision for us to live on the Friday, and we have less faith in God. So unbelief keeps us here, and we like those two guys. We like, man, I'm losing my hope. I don't know what's happening. My financial situation is bad. My relationships are falling apart. I don't have discipline. I'm ill-disciplined. I can't wake up in the morning to do quiet time or to exercise or whatever, because I'm living on Friday. But meantime, Jesus is walking alongside you, and you don't get it. That it's already Sunday, that he conquered everything that makes you feel hopeless and useless and stupid and ashamed and full of nonsense. He already conquered that so that you can live in this place. And I shared it with the morning crowd 2 weeks ago. We had, I think I also announced it, we had a miscarriage like four weeks ago. And our first three pregnancies, it was so easy. It was just so easy. So I never imagined. I'm very optimistic. I don't even think of the devil getting to intervene and something like that. I don't even think of it. So then it happened. I'm like, it wanted to take me back to this place where these two guys were. I'm like, Jesus, I trusted you. Where were you? I put all my hope in you. The hope of the, what happened? But then I felt like God taking me to Sunday. There's resurrection. Even for the miscarriage, there's resurrection power. And both Cornell and I felt that we just want to share openly about it, because there's so many people struggling with that, and there's shame involved with that, and there's a lot of guilt and stuff and condemnation because of that. So we want to get people, by just telling our story, we want to get people out of the Friday into the Sunday. And you know what? I know that we're expecting for greater things. We're not expecting a baby at this stage. And we're sad to when we walked into the doctor for the doctor's appointment and we saw there was no baby. I still believe there was a baby. I like, definitely, there's definitely a baby. I just had that kind of faith for a baby, even though we could see the miscarriage. But afterwards, I'm still living in this place. I'm not going to go back to that place. I'm going to go to the place where I know that God and Jesus conquered all. And we must live from this place. This also means that God has, if you look from Sunday, God has drew a line in the sand, and you cross that line when you get saved. Like, everything that was old is new. Everything. And so many of us, we don't focus on the future. We always focus on what happened in the past. And when you do counseling, the biggest thing that you want to do is you want to remind that person that your past was dealt with on the cross. And some of you must go back to your room tonight or tomorrow, and you must go and you must ask God, show me the stuff in the past that keeps me on the Friday. Show it to me. Because I know that the cross dealt with it. But Jesus is not hanging on a cross. He died and he resurrected. He was raised from the dead so that you can have life. So you must deal with this. It's like, oh man, I still struggle with rejection because my mother didn't want me, or my dad didn't want me, or my friends didn't want me. Hey, but the cross, Jesus, God, he died on the cross. It's a massive thing that Jesus did for exactly for that thing. So why am I still struggling with it? So you, no condemnation, no shame. You're like, God, show me that thing. Show me where the root is. And go back to that root and say, cross, I want you to do your full work. Jesus, I want you to do your full work in that thing. And then you start living with your mind and your attitude on this side. It was like Tracy said, she wasn't healed in that Sunday. But she was experiencing the Friday, but she was in faith taking on the Sunday. And we need more Christians that can understand it's the resurrection life. South Africa is not in a hopeless situation. The world is not in a hopeless situation. It's the most exciting time for you to be alive ever. Why? Because God is doing stuff. Next weekend, probably 1 million people will arrive in Bloemfontein of all places. If somebody prophesied last year that 1 million people will rock up in Bloemfontein, people would be like, yo, whatever. You can't even fill this the Cheetah Rugby Stadium. So, no. So it's a miracle in that already. So let's get out of Friday into Sunday. Let's stand. Okay, can we get the communion stuffies quickly? Okay, so we're going to do communion. So I want you to take this in faith. Faith is a key word for tonight. Faith is a key word. And Tracy, it was just so spot on with her testimony. In faith, you need to trust that God opens your eyes, like he did with those two guys, with the disciples, that he opens your eyes through the communion, the breaking of the bread, and give you a greater revelation of the cross and the resurrection. But you need to take it in faith. If you're hungry in the morning, you take a bit of bacon, maybe a few eggs, you put them in a pan and you serve them for yourself. Why do you do that? Because you want to nourish your body. You want to nourish your body. So that pig had to die for you so that you can eat. And sometimes we have more faith in that bacon to fill us and to nourish us, especially now with the Tim Noakes diet. Bacon is apparently it's good for you. So we have more faith in that bacon to nourish us than we have in Jesus Christ to nourish us. So when we're gonna repent, we're gonna say, God, thank you, we're putting our faith in you. More than anything, more than nourishment for our flesh, we need nourishment for our soul and our spirit. So we're going to break bread in faith. I want you to come to God like a kid. And I want you to say, God, just like that scripture said, I want you to open my eyes and give me a greater revelation of what happened on the cross. What happened on the Sunday, so that I can live from that perspective.